Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms 103. Boy, I love the book of Psalms, don't you? And I sure am thankful for it. Psalms, as a matter of fact, it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love to read, just meditate on the book of Psalms. There's a lot of times that I'll be having a hard day or going through something, and I'll just put the book of Psalms on and listen to it. I'll put it on my phone or riding up the road be sitting in the office, and I'll just listen to the book of Psalms. You know, that's a wonderful thing about technology today, amen, is that we can listen to the Word of God. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, Daddy had the Word of God, the Bible on cassette. Did anybody ever see the Bible on cassette? Alexander Scorby reading the Bible on cassette. And Daddy would put that in the cassette player of the car going up the road. And some of you young people don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I still remember an 8-track. I really lost some of y'all then. And a VHF video. Y'all remember them things you used to push in? But anyway, Daddy had the Bible on cassette, and we'd listen to it. And you know, now we've got it on our phones. We've got it everywhere we go, man. We can listen to the Word of God, and I sure am thankful for that. Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Psalms 108. I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 8 and read just a few verses to you. The Bible said this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Now, note with me again what the Bible said in verse number 13. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." If you'll notice in verse number 13, Christ or Jesus or God is likened to a father. There is a parallel here and a comparison here to the father. He said, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And I just want to preach on our heavenly Father for just a little while this morning. Father, I love you today. And I pray, God, that you'd help us as we preach for just a little while. I pray, God, that you'd bring back thy remembrance, Father, the things that we've studied, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us from any sin that may be in our life, Father. And I pray, God, that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God today. I pray that if there'd be any here lost, God, that you'd save them today. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, give you the glory, and give you the honor. In Jesus' name, that name that's above every name, we pray it. Amen. And amen. You can be seated this morning. I was reading this week, and as I was reading, I read a statement that said this, and I found it very interesting. Here's what it said. It said, "The Father allows choices, although sometimes disappointed." The Father allows choices, although sometimes disappointed. Boy, I began to think about that and how times my father, my earthly father, allowed me to make choices on my own, and he was disappointed in the choices that I made. I know that y'all think that I've never caused any trouble, and I've always been a good kid my whole life, but I did make some bad choices along the way, and it disappointed my father. We can also say this, our heavenly Father allows us to make choices issues in our life, even though there is times that disappoints Him. Can I illustrate it very simple for you this morning? Genesis chapter number 3. Man was living, Adam and Eve was living in a beautiful garden, in a perfect environment, and God allowed them to have a free choice. And you know what they did? They did exactly what God told them not to do. And you know what? God was disappointed in that. But God was also long-suffering to them and forgave them for that. When we come into Psalms 103 this morning, probably besides Psalms 22 and Psalms 23, Psalms 103 is my favorite psalm. Matter of fact, I would probably say it this way. Besides Psalms 22, Psalms 103 is my favorite psalm. Psalms 22, of course, is the crucifixion psalm, and it's my favorite psalm, and here's the reason why. It deals with what Jesus done so we could have mercy and grace by Him today. Psalms 103, when you come to it this morning, we note that the writer is probably David here, and one thing that we'll notice in Psalms 103 is this. Nowhere in the 22 verses of Psalms 103 is there any bit of complaining. Nowhere in Psalms 103 is there any complaining. Nowhere in Psalms 103 is there any belly aching. Y'all know what I'm saying by belly aching, don't you? Nowhere in Psalms 103 do we find that. But over and over and over in Psalms 103, the psalmist is praising God for what the Lord has done. He starts it out this way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. With everything that I have, with every inch of my ability, with every bit of the strength that I have, I just take out time to say, God has been really good, and I'm going to praise Him for that. Can I echo what the psalmist said this morning? God has been really good to us today. We're living in America today. Now, I don't love what America has become, but I still do love America. Amen. Thank God for the country in which I live in today. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. If you don't stand and take your hat off and salute it, whenever it flies, then move somewhere else. Not only my grandfather, but other people even in this room fought for us to have the freedoms that we have today. And I say thank God for America today. I'm still proud to be an American today. Amen. I'm thankful for it. And the psalmist, he's beginning to praise God for what He's done. He said, God is good to us. Boy, we look around today and we sit in a beautiful sanctuary. We've got beautiful grounds. There's nice vehicles. We live in beautiful homes. We've got good clothes on our back. We've got food in our stomach. And if we don't, it's our own choice that we didn't eat. Yeah, man, I hadn't eaten nothing this morning, but I can promise you after service, I'm going to eat a whole lot. Amen. I don't normally eat on Sunday mornings before church, but it was my choice. There was all kind of muffins on the table this morning and all kind of food in the cupboard. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God's been good to us. And the psalmist is dealing with that. He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He says, I'll bless His holy name. Whenever you come to this in verse number 8, I want to look in verse number 8 through 14, and I just want to pull out a couple things about our Heavenly Father this morning. Number one, I would say this. I want you to note this about our Heavenly Father this morning. I want you to note the slowness of His anger. The slowness of His anger. Know what the Bible said in verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. But know what he says in verse number 8. The Bible says that the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. He's slow to anger. In other words, God just don't blow his top. Y'all understand that, don't you? Whenever I began to think about this and I read this verse, and I began to think about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I began doing an in-depth study on his life, and probably next Sunday night I'll begin a series on the life of Christ. And whenever I began to look at the life of Christ, Jesus was a very hated man. He was a very hated man. Even from the beginning, he was a hated man. Nobody had time for him or room for him. There was no room in the end. No, even from the beginning, nobody had room for him. When you study his life and the things about his life, you'll find out that Jesus over and over and over was hated and mocked and railed upon throughout his life. Of course, we see him at his birth, and we see him probably around 5 years old, and we see him again at 12 years old, and then we see him at 30 years old when he begins his ministry. We only get a glimpse into Jesus' life probably less than 40 days altogether. But in those 3.5 years, and what I mean by that, not every day in the life of Christ is in the Bible. We just get a glimpse into some of them. And whenever you look in from 30 years to 33.5 years, you'll find out that his life was a life of agony. His life was a life of being made fun of. His life was a life of false accusations. Over and over, they tried to prove that he really wasn't the Messiah. Oh, but he was. Yeah, that third and glorious morning when he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, he proved the whole outfit wrong. But if you'll watch the life of Christ, he's slow to anger. Matter of fact, there's just very few times that we even see any anger in him. And one of them is when he walked into the church house and they had made it a place of selling everything, and he turned the tables over at the church house. But the biggest part of Christ's life that we see him, it's a life of mercy. It's a life of grace. You know, I thought about this. You remember the story when that lady was caught in the very act of adultery. That's what her accuser said. Said she was caught in the very act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus, and Jesus was there that day, and they began to accuse her. Well, you know what a lot of us would have done? We would have probably got angry, lashed back out at them. But what did Jesus do? He just knelt down and wrote in the sand, and whenever he lifted up his eyes, they was gone. They was gone. Why was they gone? Well, there's a lot of things that we can say there, but I'll keep moving. Maybe he was writing their transgressions in the sand, what they had done. Boy, whenever they seen that, they decided it was time to leave. But whatever it was, whenever they left, he looked at her. He said, "Where art thou, thine accusers?" She looked around and wasn't nobody there. Here's what he says to her. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Neither do I condemn thee. Go. I'm talking about a God that's slow to anger. You know what? They brought her there, and maybe she was caught in the very act of it. And according to the Bible, we're not supposed to commit fornication or adultery. You know what Jesus could have done that day? Jesus could have condemned her that day. He had all rights to condemn her that day. Oh, but you know what Jesus did? In his loving kindness, he was slow to anger to her. You remember the story in the Bible. And I'm going to move on, but you remember the story in the Bible of a man by the name of Jonah. There's four short chapters written about his life. One of the very few books of the Bible that ends with a question, but it does. And Jonah, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from Nineveh. He goes out from the presence of God, and he pays the fare thereof. He gets on the boat. When he gets on the boat, that's a great big storm came on the boat, and they throwed him overboard. Jonah found himself in a whale's belly. You say, do you really believe that? I'd have believed it if God in the Bible would have said that Jonah swallowed the whale instead of the whale swallowing Jonah. I believe that book, every jot and every tittle of that Bible, I believe it. Matter of fact, I think it was Caleb sent me a video the other day, and he said, this is some Bible stuff. And it was a whale capturing two people on a kayak. I thought, boy, we went kayaking the other day when we was on vacation, Brother Jim, and I thought, man, I hope them whales wasn't out there where we was a kayaking at. But it did. It was a video of that. Some of y'all may have saw that. Jonah goes directly against God. Directly against God, what God wants him to do. And he runs from God, and he gets thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale. You know what Jonah does? He cries out from the pits of that whale to a merciful God. And you know what God does? God gives that whale the worst stomach bug that he's ever had in his life. And the Bible said this, that he puked him out on the seashore. What'd your Bible say? That stomach bug, man. I guess if somebody's living in me, I'd want them out too. But anyway, he pukes that, regurgitates for you city slickers. He regurgitates that man out on the seashore. And here's what the Bible said. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, the second time, saying, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you this morning. We serve a God that is slow to anger today. What did the Bible say? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I say, number one this morning, our Father is slow. I note his slowness to anger. But number two, watch this in verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is, watch this, his mercy toward them that fear him. I see, number one, the slowness of his anger, but number two, watch this, the strength of his mercy. The strength of his mercy. That word mercy means this. That benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. What about that? Can I read that to you again, especially that last part? Or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Better than he deserves. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. The purity, or not the purity, but the strength of his mercy. The strength of the mercy of God. What is mercy today? Well, it's us being treated better than we deserve. That's what it is. It said to treat an offender. An offender. You know what you and I are? We are offenders to God today. It goes all the way back, as I've already said, to Genesis chapter number 3. For by one man, sin entered into the world. For by one man, sin entered into the world. And so death hath passed upon men, for that all have sinned. Here's what we want to do so many times in our life. I'm going to give this to you and I'm going to move on. But here's what we want to do so many times in our life. We want to classify sin. Little sin, big sin, medium sin, small sin. Little white lie. Look up in here. They ain't no little white lie. A lie is a lie. A sin is a sin. There is sin that God says is an abomination. Are you with me? But sin is sin. We want to say, well, I'm a good person. Well, the Bible says this, there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says this, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Every one of us was born sinners. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. We're born sinners. Let me illustrate it. Y'all have heard me use this illustration before, but it's the best way to illustrate it. I know that there's several daddies in here this morning, and there's several mamas in here this morning. And do you remember that time when your babies was wee, little bitty babies? And we used to talk completely different. Y'all with me? Y'all ever notice that? Your whole language changes when you talk. It can be the biggest, burliest, meanest man in the country, but when he talks to a baby, his whole language changes. You remember we would take that baby, Brother Scotty, and you still got a one it's a baby. And I heard y'all might be going to have some more babies for long, but anyway. Scotty laughed about that. But you'd take that baby, you'd rock that baby to sleep, and you'd take that baby and you'd put them in their bassinet or their crib or wherever, and whenever you put that baby in there, you'd go back to your room or you'd go back to the kitchen to get you some Cheerios or whatever you was going to do, and all of a sudden, that baby would scream to the top of their lungs. And you know what you'd do? You would jump up. Brother Brian, we'd take off running through the house. We'd catch our pinky toe on the side of the door and say things that we didn't need to say. Now, you might as well holler amen right there. And we'd get in there and we'd grab that baby, Brother Lloyd, and we'd pick them up and they'd go, oh, oh, oh. And you'd go, are you okay? And they'd answer you, oh, oh, oh. You know what that baby just done? That baby just lied to you. That baby just said, something's wrong with me. Get in here. And you went running in there and picked that baby up. And there was nothing wrong with that baby. Nothing. Why? Because that baby was born a sinner. Every one of us. Now, I believe in all of my heart, and this is a whole other message within itself, but I believe in all of my heart that a child has to come to the age of accountability to be saved, and before they get to that age of accountability, are you with me? Before they get to that age of accountability, they're fine. They're going to heaven. That's another whole message within itself. But watch this. We're all born sinners. And even though we may think we're good in the eyes of God, we're bad. And instead of God just thumping us off into hell, because he could if he wanted to. You might as well say amen right there. You know what God is? Here it is. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. The slowness of his anger. He has mercy upon us. He is treating an offender better than they deserve. I thought about this in this psalm. Let me just mention this in passing. There's the purity of his mercy in this psalm. What did the Bible, here's what the Bible said. Here's what the Bible said. The Lord, verse number 8, is merciful. That word Lord right there, if you'll note it in your Bible. Can we pull that verse up on the screen, Miss Stephanie? Let me show you what I'm talking about in case you don't have a Bible in front of you. The word Lord right there, and it's coming right up there. Here in just a minute, it's going to be there. That word Lord, there it is, she said. That word Lord is in all caps right there. That's not a misspelling in our Bible. That's not a mistake in punctuation. That is the way that it is supposed to be. And when you study that word Lord out right there in all caps in your King James Bible, it is the Hebrew word Yahweh. Matter of fact, that word was so respected and was so honored in that day that only the priest, when they was in the tabernacle making sacrifice, would even use that word. The writers of our Bible, they say whenever they would get to this word, they would stop, they would bathe, they would put clean clothes on, and they would get what we would call a pen today, a new pen and new ink, and they would dip it down in it just to write L-O-R-D, Lord. Matter of fact, whenever you study your Bible out in the book of Exodus chapter number 3, you'll find out that God has told Moses to go get the children of Israel out of Egypt's land. And God, as he's talking to Moses, tells him what to do. And Moses says this, "Whom shall I say sent me?" In other words, when I get over there and talk to the children of Israel, "God, who do you want me to say hath sent me?" You see, the Bible, in Bible days, names meant something. Abraham meant father of a great multitude. Eve meant living or life. Jesus means Savior. Malon meant sick. Chilion meant puny. And on, it meant something. So he wanted to know his name because they would take that name and that name had significance to it. And whenever you study Exodus chapter number 3, here's what Jesus or God comes back to Moses and says. He says, "You just go over there and say this, 'I am that I am hath sent thee.'" If you'll go to Exodus chapter 3 and look at those words, "I am that I am," you'll note that they're all capitalized in Exodus chapter number 3. It is the same Hebrew word, Lord, or Yahweh. You know what he is saying here? He's saying this, the Lord is merciful, the purity of that mercy. He's talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's talking about the great I Am is saying that I will be merciful to you. It's not just anybody that says that they're merciful. It's just not any person that says that I'm going to show you mercy. Oh no, it's our Heavenly Father that says that. You ever thought about this? Why did God say, "I am that I am"? Out of all the things he could have said right there, why did he say, "I am that I am"? Because of this, he was whatever he needed to be. I am a father. I am a brother. I am a son. I am a preacher. Are you following me? God did not follow up "I am" with nothing but "I am." So you know what he was saying? You just go down there and tell them that whatever they need, that's who sent them. Amen. The purity of it. The purity of it. The purity of his mercy. I thought about this. The paths of his mercy. Verse number 7. He made known his ways unto Moses. You see, it was just the mercy of God that Moses knew where to walk. That Moses knew where to lead the children. How many times in your life has God guided your path and kept you out of harm's way? It's all in the mercy of God. The paths of mercy, the patience of mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He's slow to it. Look at this, the plenitude of mercy. The Lord, in verse number 8, says, is plenteous. You know what that word plenteous means? Having an abundance. Having an abundance. You said, "Preacher, you don't know how many sins I've got in my life. Can he really be merciful to me?" Well, here's what he says. He's plenteous in mercy. What about the pardon of his mercy in verse number 10 and 12? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. As far as the east from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions for us. What about this? Verse number 17 deals with the permanency. The permanency of his mercy. Look what he said in verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Boy, ain't that good. From everlasting unto everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. The permanency of it. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Number one this morning, I see the slowness of his anger, the strength of his mercy. But number three, I see the scope of his forgiveness. The scope of his forgiveness in closing today. Look what the Bible said in verse number 13. Bible said, look in verse number 12. Like as a father pitieth, go back to verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The scope of his forgiveness. He said that he's taken our sins and casted them as far as the east is from the west. In other words, they're never to be found again. Matter of fact, whenever you study the Bible, you care to come start playing softly, Miss Tanya. Matter of fact, whenever you study the Word of God throughout the Old Testament, he makes several different analogies like this. He talks about them being blotted out like a thick cloud. He talks about them being cast into the depths of the sea, our sins, when we ask for forgiveness. He talks about them being cast into the depths of the seas. But you'll also note in studying your Bible that there's another testament after the Old Testament. The Old Testament, just to put it real simple, is laying the groundwork and saying, here's what's fixing to happen. The New Testament looks back into the Old Testament and says all of that is right because it happened. In other words, all throughout the Old Testament, it's prophesied over and over and over again that a man named Jesus is coming. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for the sins of the world. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is the first time that we get a glimpse into that when he's talking about the heel bruising the serpent's head. That's what happened on Calvary. The heel of Christ bruised the serpent's head. But there's also, and I'm trying not to get over nobody's head, but just mention this in passing so you'll understand what I'm saying. There's also dispensations in the Bible. We can look through the different dispensations. And we are not, let me just put it this way real simple. We're not living in an Old Testament dispensation. We're living in the New Testament. Matter of fact, we're living past the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost, Jesus has ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit was sent to us here on the earth. And now we're living in what is called the church dispensation or the church age. And here's what happened on Calvary. The scope of his forgiveness. Here's what happened on Calvary. He took all of those sins from Adam and Eve to the last person that'll ever be born. Did you catch that? To the last person that'll ever be born. He took all those sins to Calvary. The Bible said this, for the wages of sin is death. And he took my sin, he took your sin, he took the world's sin to Calvary. And he died on Calvary that day. And his blood was shed on Calvary that day. Somewhere after the resurrection, we know at first he tells Mary, I'm trying to hurry and get done, but I really feel like preaching about an hour, Brother Tim. Tells Mary, you can't touch me. But in the upper room, he tells Thomas to thrust his hand in his side. Somewhere in that time frame, he took the blood and went to the mercy seat. Boy, I know I'm in over a lot of people's head right here. But he took the blood and went to the mercy seat, placed the blood on the mercy seat. And you know what happened? Here's what happened. God said, well done. Well done. You finished what I gave you to do. That blood was placed on the mercy seat. And from that day forward, the sin debt of mankind has been paid for eternity. And the scope of His forgiveness is this. It don't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. Jesus has already paid your sin debt. He's already paid your sin debt. Do you remember the very first statement that I made? The Father allows choices, although sometimes disappointed. You see, the Father has already given you mercy. It's up to you to ask for it and receive it. You say, preacher, who can be saved today? For God so loved the world. What about Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This great God, this great I Am, is so loving and so kind that the scope of His forgiveness, the scope of His mercy, goes to the whole world today. It goes to the whole world today. But the choice falls back in our lap. It's up to us. I'll give you a very practical application. Very practical illustration. And I'm going to give the altar call. Friday, I told Olivia Friday, I said, if you want to tomorrow, after you go riding in the morning, if you want to go to Harmon's, we'll ride to Harmon's. I said, I don't care a bit to take you up there. I said, we'll ride to Harmon's if you want to. She said, okay, I'll think about it. That's always her answer. I'll think about it. She's got to meditate on it and check her day planner and see if it fits into her schedule to spend time with Dad. No, that ain't so. So she come in. She went horse riding yesterday morning. She came back and she walked in the house. I don't know, it's probably 11, 12 o'clock. And I said, you want to go to Harmon's? Let me think about it. Okay, but you're going to have to tell me something. I'm not going to think about it till 4:30 and then fly up there, okay? Just a little bit. She said, no, we'll go another time. I said, okay, ain't no problem. Now, if she'd have said, I want to go to Harmon's, you know what I was going to do? I was going to drop everything I was doing. I was going to take her to Harmon's because I had extended that invitation to her. Do you want to go? I'll be glad to take you. Watch this. The choice was hers on what she done with. Jesus, when He died on Calvary, He said, you want to go to heaven? I'm about to lose my dignity and shout. You want to go to heaven? When He stretched His arms out on Calvary and allowed them, I don't believe that they wrestled Jesus to the ground and put Him on the cross. I believe He laid His life down willingly and stretched His arms out. And as they took those spikes, like we would know a railroad spike today, and drove through His wrist and drove through His feet and set Him up on that cross on Golgotha's hill that day. You know what He was doing as His hands were stretched out and He hung in all humility and shame as He hung naked that day on Calvary. You know what He was saying? You don't go to heaven. Matter of fact, as they stood around, well, I'm trying to get done, but as they stood around Calvary that day, and the blood of Jesus, it wasn't spilled, it was shed. That's the blood of Christ. A crown of thorns had been placed upon His head and beat down on His head with a reed. He had been beaten with a cat of nine tails. And the Bible said this in Psalms 22, that His bones just stared at Him and His bowels gushed from within. So He hung there that day, probably not even recognizable of a human body because He was beaten so bad.
and the blood was running off of him that day. And the bones was exposed, and his bowels was gushing from within. Maybe somebody says, he's starting to talk, gather around. Hey, his lips are starting to move. Come around, let's see what this one that says he's the king of the Jews says. As they gather around Golgotha's hill that day, and they get up close to the cross of Calvary, here's the first words that is uttered out of the mouth of the Savior that is recorded. Father, who is he talking to? That capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He was talking to God. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very first words out of the mouth of Jesus was not anger, because he's slow to anger. You know what the very first words out of Jesus' mouth was? It was words of mercy and words of grace. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what he was doing? He was doing this. You don't go to heaven? You don't go to heaven? Father, forgive them. You don't go to heaven? Just as I looked at Olivia yesterday and said, you don't go to Harmon's? She said, no, Dad, I think I'll wait. You know what she done by saying that? Watch this. She took a gamble on whether I'd ever be able to take her again or not. Now, I plan to, but my plans may be changed, Brother Ramsey. I don't know what's in my body. I think I'm healthy, but I may not be, and I may not even live to see the end of this day. So she took a gamble on whether or not Dad would be able to take her to Harmon's. Just as Jesus said, you won't go to heaven, you're going to take a gamble today if you say no. Tell me your plans, and then tell me for 100% sure that you're going to fulfill them. We've got a big week planned. Well, I'm telling you, I'm trying to quit, but I believe the Lord's trying to help somebody this morning. We've got a big week planned. Big week. We've got 240 kids registered for youth camp. Man, we're leaving out in the morning. It's going to be a great week at youth camp. But you know what? The Lord may come back before then. Death may visit our church before then. We can't guarantee nothing. But I can guarantee you this, that Jesus is screaming out right now. You want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? He's merciful to us. But the choice comes back to us. God will let you make the choice. And I say this in closing. Don't disappoint.